Thank you, Aaron. So the last time we met in this forum, the Australian regulators had just recommended that the government consider mandatory clearing for trades between internationally active dealers in US dollar, euro, Japanese yen and British pound interest rate derivatives. In February of this year, the government took forward that recommendation. They consulted on a proposal for a determination that would be consistent with the Australian regulator's recommendation. The feedback to that consultation was generally supportive. The one area where there was significant detail in the submissions was around the definition of internationally active dealer. It's sort of how do you turn a concept that makes sense into something that's legally enforceable. In the meantime, the Australian regulators reconsidered the case for mandatory clearing of Australian dollar interest rate derivatives, and in April of this year, we recommended extending the mandate to include Australian dollar interest rate derivatives. That was based on the progress in Australian banks setting up appropriate clearing arrangements, with LCH and ASX both being licensed in Australia, which means that Australian entities can be direct participants of their clearing services if they choose to be. So in light of that progress, we believed that that was the main concern why we didn't recommend mandatory clearing of Australian dollar interest rate derivatives back in July last year, but we were comfortable to do that in April of this year. The government has consulted on a proposal to implement that, and that consultation closed on the 1st of August. The government is currently considering the submissions to that consultation. If everything goes ahead as expected, the next step in implementing mandatory clearing in Australia would be for the government to consult on a determination and adopt a determination and regulations that would set the scope of ASIC's rulemaking. ASIC would also have to consult on the rules which would give the detail of what exactly you have to clear, who exactly has to clear, when, all of the important operational details around a clearing mandate. While we don't have a timetable set in legislation, we would expect that consultation to happen this year, and that would mean that implementation of mandatory clearing requirements for trades between internationally active dealers would start sometime next year.
One, obviously, we started the conversation looking at the Australian mandate, and one thing that has been rumoured, if not said explicitly, has been the suggestion that the CFTC may extend its mandate from G4 to include Aussie dollar. And if I could throw that back to Jenny, what are the chances, do you think, of that happening? How likely is that? And perhaps there's a...
I'm not a betting person, so I'm not going to give you odds, but... If an overseas regulator were to consider mandating clearing of Australian dollar interest rate derivatives under both IOSCO and the OTC Derivatives Regulators Group agreements, they would liaise with us, they would consult with us before introducing the mandate, and we would seek to coordinate and smooth the implementation of our mandate and theirs to try and minimise the implementation costs.
And I appreciate that you're not a gambling person, but if that were to happen, when do you think would be the most likely time?
I'm sorry, I've got no insight into the decision-making of the CFTC, and the other possibility is also a European mandate. You know, the Europeans are considering the product scope of their mandatory clearing requirements. So we're watching just like the industry is watching.
Do these kind of, if you have an extension of a mandate from both the CFTC and the EU, let's assume both of those go ahead, would that present any practical business issues in terms of integrating that?
I'll start with the link between a CFTC clearing mandate and whether that then makes a product made available to trade, so it has to be traded on CEF. Just so everyone knows, if the CFTC makes a product subject to mandatory clearing, it then becomes eligible to be made available to trade. It doesn't mean it has to. So at the moment, the CFTC mandate for clearing covers US dollar, euro, Japanese yen and British pound interest rate swaps and North American and European credit default swaps. In terms of what has been made available to trade, so must be traded on CEF, it's US dollar interest rate swaps and European interest rate swaps. So it's a subset. And that is because for something to be traded on an electronic platform, you need to consider the liquidity in that product and whether trading, the transparency that you get from trading on a trading platform, actually, if there is insufficient liquidity, that could actually worsen the liquidity problem. So I don't think while we're very aware that if the CFTC were to mandate Australian dollar interest rate swaps, they would become eligible to be made available to trade, it doesn't mean that that's the end game, and it's definitely the case. We're monitoring that process. sorry. In terms of the withholding tax issue, my understanding is Treasury is very well aware of the issue, and Andrew and Rohan have had many conversations with Treasury, and so I'm a little bit more optimistic than you are.
Jenny, if I could just stick with the liquidity issue, and I think Marcus made an interesting point there with regard to a reduction in trading between Europe and US, and certainly when the CEF rules came in force in October last year, we noticed a lot of the Asian banks kept away from some of the US liquidity pools. Is from a regulatory perspective, are you concerned at this, or perhaps balkanisation of the global market that might result from these mandates coming in place? Is that an issue that concerns?
Certainly, to the OTC derivatives market is a cross-border market, and we would be concerned about disrupting the functioning of the market if you made each jurisdiction a separate market.
But you're not concerned that that's going to... Is that likely? Is that happening?
I've read the ISDA studies that Marcus referenced. Whether that is a transition problem, whether when Europe introduces its mandatory trading requirements, that resolves itself is an open question. We're monitoring the situation.
Jenny, I just wanted to kind of get your view in terms of this. So Rohan's just explained a bit of a reluctance from the buyer side to prepare until the mandate comes in. Obviously, there's a slight kind of chicken and egg. Is that a concern from you? I mean, would you like the buyer side to be doing more? Should they be doing more?
We carefully considered whether we should extend the mandate to beyond the dealers in our April report, and concluded that there wasn't a public policy case at this stage to do so. That doesn't mean that we don't expect that the buy side, particularly larger non-dealers fund managers, to have an incentive to centrally clear. And certainly we've seen the early adopters get ready for central clearing, whether it's in preparation for being required to centrally clear or whether as Andrew mentioned, we expect there to be differential pricing between whether a contract is centrally cleared or remains bilateral. And that differential pricing is driven both by the capital requirements that banks are required to hold for centrally cleared exposures versus non-centrally cleared exposures, and the prospective introduction of margin requirements for non-centrally cleared derivatives.
The clearing mandate in Australia, will it be a success or a failure?
I'm not going to change my mind. Just, no, it will work.